Well, hello and welcome to the very first ever edition of the Excellent VoiceOver Podcast. Every week we'll be asking a hard-working, talented, professional voiceover artist some searing, insightful questions about the voiceover business in general and their own career in particular. And next to me this month, on the shiny black leather sofa in the offices of Excellent Talent in the heart of London, Soho, is the wonderful Mr. Simon Kerr. Simon, I'd like to start off, if I may, by asking you to tell us a little bit about how you got into voiceover in the first place.
I was an actor. I did a radio drama course. The tutor of this course, he said to me, you know, you're not very good at this. Maybe you should be doing that. And I went in and I recorded a demo with him. And I just loved it immediately. It just suited me.
You've got one of those voices. You must have people come up to you all the time and say, wow, what a fantastic voice. Do you do voiceovers?
A lot of people say, I've got a really good voice. I should do voiceovers. I don't know that I ever thought that. And I think, but once you're in the business, it's a whole other story. It doesn't really matter that you've got a really good voice and you'd be good for this. There's so many other things involved in it.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. I mean, what do you think are the key aspects of being a successful voiceover, apart from just having a nice instrument, if you like?
I think voiceover is very specific. It's very subtle. I mean, the directions you get are ridiculous. Can you speed that up and say the words slower? You go in for a job, and there's generally only three of you there. The voice, the producer, and the sound engineer. And everybody just gets into it, and it all just happens out of nothing.
I mean, for you, what's the best bit of being a voiceover?
It is the intensity of going into a session and knowing that you have a specific amount of time to get a job done. I always call it like the crack of acting, because acting is just sitting around waiting and waiting, and you get up and you get in front of the camera and you say your lines and you can be doing anything. But this, you're just working intensely for such a period of time. And then when it's over, it's like, wow, that was great.
All right. Now tell us about Rise of the Machines, if you please. This is your latest project, isn't it?
It was a fantastic job. It was a 10-part documentary for H2, the History Channel, and Discovery, produced by Dan Kendall at Windfall Films. I really enjoy doing documentaries, but this was very different as a documentary. I loved the fact that every week you would go in and record, you know, for 2, 3, 4 hours, and you built a rapport with the people you're working with. And it doesn't matter how long you're in this business, there's always something to learn. And we had a great producer, Dan, and I learned an incredible amount from him. And it's very much like, it's not just the voice that's working at the time. They're also working to their pictures. And it's all very technical, because this was one of those shows that they didn't want to have any dead air. So there was lots of graphics, lots of explosions and sounds like dings and whooshes and things like that. And the voice had to fit around that. So you had to get into that rhythm of speaking.
How does TV narration work differ from other voiceover work? What are the particular skills you need for that?
You need to be invested in the story. You need to know what you're talking about. I used to do some e-learning work. And if that gets very technical, you can sort of like ride the wave of the words, and you sort of trust where you're going with your intonations. And the thing about doing a documentary is you have to know where the story's going. You have to remember what's come, who the players are, what they're doing, because characters come and go within the story.
Now, we should probably talk about Dallas and Payday, shouldn't we? It's pure coincidence that we've got Hoxton interviewing Dallas here, but this is about you, Simon, so tell us about it.
Yeah, we were an integral part of the Payday games, weren't we? But we never worked together. I loved Dallas because it just allowed me to go in there and just vent for a couple of hours. But with a character like Dallas, or any character in a video game, it's very technical. Again, the whole voiceover world is technical, and that really surprised me. But with Dallas, it's like you have to pitch it in many different scenarios that he's involved in, like very low shouting up to like extreme busting your lungs shouting. And you find very inventive ways to swear.
All right, here's a silly, fun question for you. What is your dream voiceover job?
I guess everybody says this. I would like to have my own character. somebody who I worked with, she introduced me as the voice of Tony the Tiger. And I said to her, I said, no, I'm not the voice of Tony the Tiger. And she just like, she just went red. Yeah, I'd love something like that, you know, so, something that, you know, it goes on and on and on and becomes iconic. And of course, I would kill to voice a worldwide big American blockbuster movie trailer. That is because that's what everybody expects I do. I just love to be able to, yes, that's me you heard in the cinema.
Yeah, I gather George Lucas has a little project coming out quite soon. Maybe you could help him promote that. George, if you're listening, get in touch. Simon, thank you so very much indeed for joining us on the Black Leather Sofa.
Thanks very much, Pete. Appreciate it.
If you're listening, we hope you've enjoyed our five-minute window on the world of voiceover. If you have any questions, feedback, queries, comments, don't hesitate to get in touch. We're on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and, of course, at excellenttalent.com.